New adventure every day.
Good afternoon, members. We'll call the Senate Environmental Natural Resource Committee to order Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. We have 1, 2, 3 bills before us today. Senator DeKreif has the first two, then Senator Gazelka. So, Senator DeKreif, welcome to the committee. Senate File 1843. I understand, Senator, you have an amendment. Is that correct?
That is correct. And thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to introduce the A1 amendment.
I think that's going to be passed out right now. The members have the A1 amendment to the A1 amendment, Senator DeKreif.
Essentially, all the A1 amendment does is says that as necessary, the commissioner may transfer a portion of the appropriation to other state agencies to support carrying out these functions. So it's basically something that I think MMB wanted for their bookkeeping.
Questions, members? The A1 amendment. Hearing none, Senator DeKreif offers amendment, A1 amendment to Senate File 1843. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Senator, your bill's in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically what this bill does, Senate File 1843, is it allows the state parks to stay open in case there's another state shutdown. That happens to be the time of the year that they bring in their most revenue from people that stay at the parks. And what I would like to do is I would like to see the state parks stay open during, in case there's another shutdown. Typically, that shutdown starts July 1st. This has happened a couple of times that I recall in recent history. And it disrupts an awful lot of people from their camping weekends over the 4th of July and throughout their summer months. And I would just like to, see the parks not used as a tool in that. It brings in revenue. Let's let that revenue flow in. Typically, the shutdowns happen over revenue. We're arguing about revenue, so let's let the revenue come in.
Questions, members? Members, Senator Kielash.
I'm just wondering, are we appropriating money for this department by doing this that we haven't agreed to during the regular session? So, I mean, it seems like we're going outside the bounds of the Constitution, but maybe
Mr. Neff,
because, these departments run on our ability to fund them. And what we're saying is that if we choose not to fund them or can't come to an agreement to fund them, we're going to let them run anyway, which in fact is approving a different funding source. So
it looks like a couple of guys would like to make comments here. So Mr.
Knopf, do you want to?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kielash, the bill does, it only taps the money that's coming in from park fees. It does not tap general fund dollars other than to help pay for some indirect costs that MMB might have. But otherwise, currently the parks money that comes in for fees is directly appropriated by the legislature. This makes it sort of an open appropriation just during the shutdown period.
My question, is that constitutional? Because basically we're saying we can't come to an agreement on funding it. And you're saying with this bill that if we can't come to agreement on funding it, then another mechanism that says we're going to fund it takes over. Maybe Mr. Knopf can help with that, too.
Mr. I don't Knopf, know. Just, yes, was,
well, Mr. Okay. Chair, what this does is becomes a statutory appropriation. And I think statutory appropriations have been, there's a number of areas. In fact, the other two bills we'll see today already have statutory appropriations for the money that's in the fund. This would be a statutory appropriation out of the fund during that time period.
And it carries over from biennium to biennium.
It,
Mr. That approval carries over. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Chair Senator Kielash, it would carry over into any biennium that were to shut down were to occur, it would allow for this to go on as a statutory appropriation. And we do have statutory appropriations do go from they continue on. They're in the statutes. We have again. We'll see two. The next two bills already had statutory appropriations. To put it into this bill, I needed to create the statutory appropriation during that time period. But it's basically a statutory appropriation, and those do go on. I mean, the next legislature can change them, but they do go on. By any.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I see that we have the appropriation in the Natural Resources Fund, and then the kind of the back of the house operations are out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. And have we talked to MMB about this, and they're okay with this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, with the amendment on, they're okay with this language. We are getting a number of these bills in the office, drafting requests. And so our chief fiscal analyst, Brent Gustafson, worked with MMB and worked with other staff in our office, and we kind of cobbled together some language that we thought would work. And so that's basically what you see in front of you is I think there are other bills and other committees that are going to be looking at similar language as this.
So, Mr. Chair, if we have these in lots of other committees, at some point we'll just have a continuing appropriation for everything here, and we would never shut down. Is that what the plan is, Senator? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
I don't know, Senator, if that's a fair statement.
I'm just asking.
I just really need to remind everybody. You know, nobody wins during these shutdowns, and probably one of the first things that we got calls and complaints on, and I'm sure you were the same. Were, my goodness, you know, here we are. We planned this trip. For the 4th of July, and now we're shutting down, and I it's a no-win for everybody, and hopefully, you know, this is going to address this. I can't speak for the rest of the government. I mean, the rest of the committees. I don't know that there's a big end around here to try and keep everything open. I don't think that's the plan here at all. At least maybe Senator DeKreif can add to that. Is anybody else looking for anything to stay open? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that answer. I'm sorry.
Well, Mr. Chair, I have a bill here to try and also keep the zoos open, which I will be talking about, or the zoo open, right after this. So yeah. There's a couple of things, especially those items where there's revenue coming into the state. If we're busy arguing about money because we don't have enough money to spend, according to one side or the other, and this is, quite frankly, this, the state shut down under Republican governor and with a Democrat legislature, and it just shut down now with a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature. So this could go, it could cut both ways. But I just think that when we have an entity that's bringing money in, why cut off that funding supply and why close it down to the state when money is the issue?
And Senator Higgins, I think you've jarred my memory here, and I might, I'll go out on the limb, and if my memory does serve me properly here, I think the Grand Master kept the zoos open. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So,
exactly.
So there. Yeah. Is that what they call them? The Grand Master? I don't remember.
Special Master.
See, I was close. Some
Grand
kind of a master.
Some wizard.
Yeah. I just thought, where did this person come from? I can hardly wait to see him.
Wizard of Oz.
Senator Saxok.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would guess the reason that the Grand Master wanted the zoos open because somebody had to feed the animals. There's not that problem in the state parks. The deer and the wolves and the squirrels seem to get along just fine. But Mr. Chair and Senator DeKreif, I mean, this is the question is, and maybe I could ask Mr. Knopf, what was the phrase used for things that the Grand Master did leave open? Are they necessary, or what was the phrase?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, it would be essential government services, although legislative staff were kept on because we were constitutionally necessary, not necessarily essential services. But
thank God for that.
But I do want to say something though about the zoo. There were two different decisions. There was the decision that the governor put in to have the zoo kept open enough to feed the animals, but not to keep it open for visitors. And that was part of the first round. But the special master opened the zoo up to visitors and basically fully opened it because of the statutory appropriation that they had. There were two steps. It wasn't just the special master didn't deal with the feeding of the animals. That was already occurring. What they did is opened it up for visitors too. And allow them to use their statutory appropriation.
So could I?
I'm sorry. Follow up.
Yeah. So the question for me is, I'm sure everybody would wonder if we continue to go on this present route is this isn't a constitutional question by any stretch of the imagination. It's that. If we're down to loggerheads, and the only way that we're going to do this is having some type of punitive action, that being the shutdown. I mean, what's the reason if we just keep knocking a little piece at a time, all these off? I mean, I think that there ought to be something to bring everybody to the table, and I'm not sure we're doing it. It's one of the although in the case of the state parks, we probably saved. Life and limb because of what happened up at St. Croix, but I just don't understand the whole idea of allowing things to happen if indeed it isn't supposed to be a pleasant experience. We're supposed to get our work done, and people of Minnesota have a right to be teed off if we don't get it done. And so we're saying, well, we're going to do. Senator Crive is basically saying, well, we'll keep the zoos open, we'll keep state parks open, we'll just do anything that doesn't make things difficult for the people of Minnesota. I don't understand the whole idea.
Senator Crive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Saxhog, I know you mentioned earlier about the animals, and I think one of the things that the zoo had is they actually had somebody come forward and make their case. In fact, the state parks didn't have that same group come forward and try to make the case for the state parks. They very likely may have as well. Now, as to feeding the animals, I agree that they needed to be fed. I can't speak to the squirrels. Don't know if they ate well or not during the shutdown. But I guess to me, there's a very good chance that had somebody come forward and asked for the state parks to stay open and fought for that, they may have gotten that, but we don't know that for sure.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if this is for Senator DeCryf or Mr. Knopf. I've seen legislation that's been entered that would have a continuing appropriation of all state funds at some reduced amount in the case of a non-agreement between the legislature and the executive branch. If that were to become law, what effect then would that have on this legislation? Would this continue at full speed? Does it become subject to, let's say it's an 80% appropriation? Just curious.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, if you were to pass a lights-on type law that would kick in during times when they couldn't agree, that would obviate or big unnecessary legislation like this. I mean, that would already keep government open in all forms. This is just dealing with limited pieces to keep them open during those times.
Okay. Thank you.
And if I could comment to Senator Saxhog, I understand what you're saying. I totally agree. I guess, if there's going to be a group that's not, we're not all getting our work done, really, should a certain amount of pain be inflicted? I think is what you're saying, and I certainly understand that. But at the same time, I know there's been, and Senator DeCryf quoted a couple different shutdowns. But I think that the shutdown under Governor Pawlenty, now I'm going to go out on the limb here and say that there were certain parts of the government that wasn't shut down because some of those bills were signed. This was totally the whole works, and I don't know if this committee knows or not, but I did send a note to the governor saying we had the funding in the parks that was as much or actually more than what he had requested, and for him to please keep the parks open. And he chose not to do that. But that's his administration. He's doing that. I'm not going to second guess that. It was going to be everything or nothing. And I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, we kept public safety open. We kept the prisons open for obvious reasons. There was even some talk and some calls that I received that, I own the state parks. I'm going to go in there and camp. What are you going to do about it? And I'm going, wow, we just don't need to go there, I guess it seems like. But this certainly seems like a reasonable approach to it, should it ever happen, and hopefully everybody sitting at this table and they have to witness that again, because it's just a no-win for everybody. But state parks on the 4th of July was the biggest stinger of all. I mean, it just really was. Senator.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the last year the Ag Committee got their work done, got it signed by the governor, and their department was not shut down. And so they operated normally. And it's just that there were so many bills that didn't get... There was no compromises, and the negotiations broke down, and that's why we're in the mess we were in last year. One of the questions I have, and that is, I don't know where is the DNR on this, and whether or not this funding source is enough to keep all the parks open, and besides just keeping the lights on in the parks, is there back office stuff that's supposed to get?
Yeah, I'd like to hear some comments
on that. So I don't know if there's
from the department. Are they here? Anybody would like to make some comments?
I don't know if there's how far does this go, I guess, as to who is funded and who's not. That's not necessarily in the parks.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, Ron Potter with Parks and Trails. If we're talking about using funding from our park account, in the month of July, our operating budget is about $500,000, and our intake, our revenue during that same time is about $1 million a week. So it would be enough to keep us operating.
So it's, in other words, it's safe to say, obviously, you make more than you spend during that period of time.
Correct, Mr. Chair. And I believe we are working on a fiscal note on this.
Senator Dietzick.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I don't know, again, I apologize, I'm the new person. So in this account that it says the fees collected under this shall be deposited in Natural Resources Fund and credited to State Parks account, is there a separate account in here that would cover some of the metro parks? I don't know if any of them were actually shut down, but I know there is money from the state that goes to the metro parks. And so how is that impacted? And I, thankfully, I don't believe, but I'm not positive because I was busy working on another part of the shutdown. So I don't know, and unfortunately, if it were a really long shutdown, I know local governments had to prepare at different levels to shut down all sorts of stuff that luckily they didn't have to shut down at the beginning. So I don't know if this could be part of it or if that's another similar plan.
Good question. I guess I can't answer whether the metro parks were shut down, but the state parks were. But Mr. Mueller, maybe you can answer that.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, the metro parks do not have, they don't collect fees that go into a state account at all. They're all run under the umbrella of Met Council, and they were not shut down during the shutdown. They do get state money from the general fund, but that largely goes to upkeep and things like that. So they weren't charging a fee and weren't shut down at all.
The Parks and Trail people here that would like to make some comments? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Sarah Pasek. I represent the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota. We're a grassroots organization. One of our goals and priorities is protecting the state parks and trail system. We don't have an official position on this bill, but in general, we don't want to see the state parks closed again like they were last summer. Our organization took a lot of phone calls at the end of June and July from people calling us because they were trying to find answers to about when the parks would be back open, if they could just go in and walk around, if they didn't camp, and different things like that. So I was in the House Environment Committee this morning where they testified to, I think if the money is available, the DNR said that there's some needs that they would have, you know, to be able to clean up the parks or, you know, clean the bathrooms if people are camping. And as long as all that can be met, we hope that the parks can stay open.
Any questions, members? And I think that was one of the issues, too, that I heard during that shutdown was, you know, how the state park is going to get, you know, unattended. And the possibility, in fact, I think there might have even been some vandalism going on in some of the parks. So, you know, we just don't want to see that, and this certainly would certainly help that situation. So any further questions, members? Senator DeKreif?
Well, I thank you to the committee for all the good comments that we've had here. I think we deserve to have discussion on this, and I hope we move this forward so we don't have to suffer this, you know, shutting the state parks down again.
Okay. Senator Keogh.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, where does this go from here? Finance?
Goes to finance and then okay. For possible inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Senator Higgins.
Fiscal note? We shouldn't say
there was talk of a fiscal note. Mr. Mueller, maybe you can make some comments about that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, there was fiscal notes requested on all three of these bills. The fiscal notes aren't really going to say much other than because it's all based on a possible shutdown, and we never know how long the shutdown will be if there is another one. So the only cost there would be the fees that they already collect, and this is allowing them to expend those fees. There may be some very slight general fund costs that are allowable in here, but that's permissive too, and all based on a possible shutdown. So and the DNR just mentioned they're in the process of preparing the fiscal note, and I don't know what else they would address in the fiscal note other than this basically allows them to spend money that they're already collecting.
Mr. Knopf, did you have some comments?
I just wanted, Mr. Chair, just to add, too, if you look at the last sentence, it'll be in all three bills, too. Any subsequent appropriation of the Commissioner Imagine Budget for a biennium, which the paragraph has been applied, supersedes and replaces. So basically, it shouldn't be a general fund cost. I mean, that should be whatever when the budget's finally enacted, it shouldn't be an add-on to that budget. So I'm guessing the fiscal note shouldn't come back with additional costs.
Well, Senator Higgins, as you know, we demand those before they come before the Finance Committee, so it doesn't sound like there will be one, but at least we need something to say that. So, Senator Kiyosaki.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, so because we're doing payroll and that stuff, is that coming out of the MMB? If that's shut down, does the parks have to pay to staff the MMB in order for staff to get paychecks?
Mr. Chair. Yeah. Senator Kielash, that's why you see the language in the bill. It starts on line 1.18. If by July 1, the legislature has not been enacted appropriate money for the commissioners, so if the budget for MMB has not been passed yet or enacted, for central accounting, procurement, payroll, human resource functions, the amount necessary to operate those functions are appropriated from the general fund to the commissioner management and budget. So there would be... But this would be money that, if the budget were passed, would otherwise MMB would already have that as part of their general fund appropriation. And I think these funds still pay statewide indirect. So indirectly it comes from the state parks fund. It's just that the appropriation to MMB is from the general fund. And then they take money out of the state parks account to put in the general fund for the costs of operating this part of the program. So... I shouldn't have kind of complicated.
That was
maybe a little bit
more complicated. Senator DeKreif, you look like you've got something on your mind that you can clear this all up.
Well, I'm I'm trying to just add a little common sense to this if I can.
No, that's not allowed.
My perspective. But to me, if there's a fiscal note, to me, if we're not getting the money because of a state shutdown, in the month of July, it sounds like there's about $500,000 of expenses but $1 million of revenue. Shouldn't the fiscal note say something about the fact that we'll not be getting that income coming in of that $1 million during the month?
Yeah.
So to me, the fiscal note should be to the positive, if you will.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to want. You're going to certainly need that before you get to the Finance Committee.
I agree.
Any further discussion?
Chair, I would move that Senate File 1843 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
For possible inclusion.
For possible inclusion.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I think that should be and for possible inclusion. The motion is to pass it to finance, and then you're also letting people know that you think that this could be included in a later bill. But you do want the individual bill to go to finance. So you're recommending it pass and be re-referred to finance committee. And then also just letting people know that that you may include this in an omnibus bill.
I'm sorry, I thought I made that clear.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion carries. Next bill, Senator DeCrae, Senate File 1844, and you also have an amendment for this particular bill. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
We'll pass that out. As part of the discussion that's been going on already, I guess this is somewhat similar. Is this amendment similar in nature?
Same.
Exactly the same? Okay. We're being told, members, that it's the same as the amendment for 1843. So to that amendment.
Mr. Chair, and it is identical. It's just saying as necessary, the commissioner may transfer a portion of this appropriation to other state agencies to support and carry out these functions. So it's the same as the last one.
Members, any questions on the A1 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Senator DeCrae, your bill is now in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this is essentially doing is agreeing with the judge or the special master, if you will. What happened is during the shutdown, I believe that the zoo did not enjoy visitors for about 2 days while they got their business in order. So what this is essentially doing is just agreeing with the special master, allowing the monies to be, the special fund to be dispersed to operate the zoo by the Department of Management and Budget. So essentially, this should be very non-controversial just because we're just agreeing with the special master.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we get an accounting like we got with the parks? How much revenue would we be taking in versus the expenses going out? That would be helpful.
John, Mr. Appitz is here representing the zoo. Would you be able to answer those particular questions? Or,
Mr. Chairman, I believe I could help you with that.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, my name is John Appitz. Excuse me, I'm with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer, and we represent the Minnesota Zoo Foundation, which is a 501c3 corporation that raises money to assist the zoo in its operations and its capital needs. Specifically, Senator Carlson, to your question, the net loss to the zoo over the 2 days that we were closed was about $50,000. So there were some costs that we didn't incur, but there was a significant amount of revenue that the zoo did not receive. So over that two-day period that we were closed down, it was about $50,000. Does that help get you where you want to go?
Well, Mr. Appitz,
yes, sir.
On a typical, let's just use a weekly basis, what do the revenues versus expenses typically look like?
Over,
yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I guess specifically probably that time period, because it obviously would be different than it would be in December. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to read just briefly from a note that comes from the CFO from the Minnesota Zoo, Piggy Edelman, who apologizes for not being able to be here with you today, but this is a note that she prepared sort of in response to that question. She said last July, now this would have been July 2010, last July we earned over $1.5 million and spent under $865,000 along with carrying forward about $1.3 million that they had and potential earnings of about $1.6 million, et cetera. So it's about $1.5 million. During the summer. The summer are the zoo's big months, obviously. May to roughly September, October, when the zoo actually earns the most of its funds. And those go into, if I may, Mr. Chairman, those admissions, parking, other sorts of earnings that come in go into a special fund, as Senator DeGrive said. That's the money that the judge, it wasn't actually the special master, it was the judge said, is available to the zoo, has already been appropriated by the legislature to the zoo specifically for its operations. And the judge found that the zoo could reopen, essentially, a couple days after it had closed and continue operations because you, the legislature, had already, several years ago, set up the fund, had the money go from admissions, concessions, other things, into that fund, and then be appropriated for the operation of the zoo, specifically. That's the way the language, if you look at the first part of Senator DeKrive's bill, the existing language goes. That's what it says. And just real quickly, if I may elaborate just further, about 70% of the money that the zoo brings in, about 60% is earned and about 10% is contributed through the Minnesota Zoo Foundation, is money that they earn and that goes into that special fund that is appropriated then for the zoo's operation. Of the $21 million it costs annually to run the zoo, $21, $22 million, about 30% or about $7 million comes from the state of Minnesota. So it's that 70% that we're talking about that the judge said the legislature had already appropriated in years past and was a standing appropriation for our operations. What Senator DeKrive's bill does, Mr. Chairman, is basically say, yep, that's what the statute said. That's what the legislature found. And indeed, the Department of Management and Budget needs to administer that fund, those monies, so that the zoo can continue to operate. That's paragraph B of Senator DeKrive's bill. Thank you.
Any further questions, members?
Mr. Chairman, could I just say one last thing? I hope you support this bill, but let me also just say thank you to Mr. Knopf for the help he gave this past summer in keeping the zoo open. He helped clarify a lot of this. When we were right in the middle of trial, literally the attorney who was on a volunteer basis representing the zoo was standing in front of the judge, and I called Mr. Knopf and I said, help me figure this out. Explain to me how this works. He did it in about a minute. I explained this to the counsel that was arguing to the judge, and she found the next day that Mr. Knopf was right and the zoo ought to stay open. So we owe a debt of gratitude to Mr. Knopf as well.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Knopf. Members, any further questions on Senate File 1844? Senator Saxlock.
Well, I don't want to be like a broken record, Mr. Chair, but I see you've got another one with Senator Gazalka coming up, Senate File 1911, and they all have to do, I'm assuming, with what happens when our government shuts down. You know, and it's kind of like we're just saying to the people of Minnesota, well, your government shuts down. We're just fooling. You know, you can just keep doing everything the way it's supposed to be. I just don't think that's what a government shutdown is all about. I think it's ugly stuff, and the people of Minnesota need to be able to put leverage on their elected officials that they need to get things done. And you know, by taking them off the hook, you know, if no pain, no gain, as far as I'm concerned. That's all. Thank you.
Senator Saxlock, maybe I would direct a question to you then. What would you say about the special master's decision to keep it open then? What do we think of that, I guess, as a group here?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm talking generally now. I don't mean to question what the special master did on the hundreds of things that hundreds of decisions he made. I'm making a statement here about what happens when government shuts down.
And I understand that, and I appreciate that statement. And I also, you did put in Senator Gazelka's bill, and I think that is a little different in that that is part of the Constitution, the right to hunt and fish in Minnesota. So that might bring up a little different conversation. But your point is very well taken. So. Any further discussion? Senator Gerlach, I'm sorry.
Well, sorry, I was just going to add that if we're talking generalities, that I'd agree with Senator Saxog. I mean, there's an important role for political pressure to play in a shutdown. But these bills that are before us are about special instances. They're about specific cases where a judge has ruled and said, in this particular case, this appropriation has been made, and therefore this is sort of a unique exempt situation. And that's what the difference is. But we're not getting into the we agree in general that there ought to be that political pressure, but not where the law doesn't allow that political pressure. We shouldn't just try to create misery where it shouldn't exist. And this is a case, some of these cases that Senator Kreif is bringing forth, are cases where misery does not have to exist. Therefore, we shouldn't put that upon the people of Minnesota. Does that make sense?
So, any further discussion? Yes,
on the bill, a specific case.
So, Senator Gerlach moves Senate File 1844 as amended to pass and to be re-referred. Excuse me, to be referred to the. Does this one have to go to Committee on Finance, and for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carries. Thank you,
Thank
Senator.
You, Mr. Chair and Committee.
You. Moving along, Senate File 1911, Senator Gazelka. And I guess we have a third amendment, very similar to the first two. Is that correct, Senator Gazelka?
In fact, I think it's exactly the
welcome,
same, Mr. Chair.
First of all, welcome to the committee. If you want to...
Yeah, I'll move the A1 amendment. It's the same amendment that was on the prior two.
Members, again, this is the same verbiage, same words for this particular bill as the two previous bills, 1844 and 1843. Any questions on the amendment? Any discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Senator Gazelka, your bill is in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This might be just a little bit different from the other ones in that it's constitutionally protected. Article 13, miscellaneous subjects, Section 12, hunting and fishing and the taking of game and fish are a valued part of our heritage that shall be forever preserved for the people and shall be managed by law and regulation for the public good. And so the purpose of this legislation is statutorily bill would affirm shutting down of licensed sales was unconstitutional and violated said right of sportsmen and affected wildlife tourism, resorts, and retailers. Enforcement was unequal and a county opted out. And what I want to share with you members, Mr. Chair and members, is in Crow Wing County. That's where I reside. This is where we have 400 lakes. I don't know how many resorts we have. And when it was discovered that they were not going to be able to purchase electronically fishing licenses, I've got to tell you, all hell broke out because there was numerous people canceling their trips to our area because they couldn't have a fishing license. And so the Crow Wing County Commissioners passed a resolution asking the DNR to provide the ability for people to go out and fish and buy their license after. Locally, the DNR said that was okay, and then they were prevented from doing that. But the results, members, non-licensed sales, and particularly across the state, dropped almost 30,000 for the comparing to the prior year, and they estimate the loss to the state of 1 to 3 million, somewhere in there. And so, number one, it's constitutionally required. Being able to do it electronically would not have stopped anything, and I think it was a big mistake, and that's why I'm bringing forth this legislation.
Senator, and again, I'm going to jar everybody's memory here. There was a lot of discussion about and from the DNR, and I see the DNR is here. If they want to make some comments, I certainly would like to hear from them, but some comments as to how they were going to handle the enforcement mechanism of this during that shutdown, and we can hear from them in a couple of minutes. But along with you today, you have a guest. Would you like to introduce him?
Mr. Chair, members, I have the legendary Gary Leaf with me today.
Welcome, Mr. Leaf, to the committee. Would you identify yourself?
I'm Gary Leaf, Executive Director of Sportsmen for Change. We're a grassroots hunting and fishing advocacy group. Also, kind of bringing forth the message for the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, which is the largest coalition of hunting and fishing groups in the state. And this goes actually back to the founding of the country. The first state to pass a constitutional right to hunt and fish was, I believe, Vermont in 1777. And about 12 states have passed constitutional provisions to protect and make available part of their heritage hunting and angling. We passed ours in 1998. That was carried by Senator Lessard. And this bill is really the beginning of what became another bill, which was the Legacy Amendment, the first 1/8 that was dedicated towards game and fish, and which evolved into a couple of other bills. I think that, you know, this amendment, the constitutional right to hunt and fish, was amended or passed by 77% of the voters, and there was tremendous amount of sportsmen around the state, a lot in the outdoors press, that was questioning, why do we have a right to constitutional right to hunt and fish, higher standing potentially than a lot of the other areas that were granted special circumstances by the master or whatever we're calling them here. And I think the clock just ran out, but there was a tremendous amount of areas in the state that are really affected by this. And it's, hunting and fishing isn't exactly the easiest thing to close down. There's not a central facility that you could just close this down. Just a Cabela's store in Rogers gets 30,000 people going through a day. You have massive amount of tourism. It did result, you know, some economic effects to the DNR and license sales and so on. So rather than go the constitutional challenge route, we think the statutory provision will keep hunting and angling free and open to the public should there be an event of another shutdown or some other type of emergency circumstance the state faces.
Members, any questions from the witness? Senator Higgins.
I have an amendment. Okay. It's oral. Delete lines 1.7 and 1.8.
Oral amendment offered by Senator
Mr. Chair, this is Higgins. Deleting the, giving this you know, a title, which is I think not necessarily, and I think we don't, as a general rule, we shouldn't have titles for anything, and certainly not something that says to keep, you know, sell hunting licenses and fishing licenses when we aren't open.
Senator Higgins, I might understand you don't agree with hunting and, I'm sorry, you said the... You don't agree with selling the licenses?
I'm deleting the title of it because right. I think that having something that sounds very grandiose, like the Freedom to Hunt and Fish Act of 2012, doesn't really match up with what it is we're doing here. So, and as a general rule, I just oppose giving anything names.
Sure. So. Mr. Knopf, maybe you can comment with your institutional knowledge. Has something like this ever been done before or in the past?
Mr. Chair, it has been done before. I mean, the legislature does offer citations at the beginning of acts. You know, sometimes they're named after an individual who died in some boating accident or things like that. In the Wetland Conservation Act in 1991, there was the first section, there was a citation that this is the Wetland Conservation Act of 1991. So, I mean, it does, the legislature does this from time to time. It's not necessarily standard. It's just, but there are times when the legislature does this. Senator Higgins, I think, is arguing that it's that the title is above and beyond what's in the bill.
And I'm also arguing that we shouldn't be naming things. In the Health Committee, we took the name off of something already today. You know, we just shouldn't be naming just. I mean, if you're going to have some big, grand, wonderful thing that's going to go forward, the Wetland Protection Act or something, sure, fine, give it a name. But just, you know, any old bill is just any old bill. Sorry, Senator Gazelka, it's just any old bill.
Senator Gazelka.
Chair, Senator Higgins, well, for my area, it wasn't any old bill. It was a major tourism nightmare, and I don't personally think the title is unreasonable.
Senator Knopf. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would echo Senator Gazelka's remarks. Up in my area, which is even further north than Senator Gazelka's area, it was equally, if not more, a big deal. And I think this is a very aptly titled bill.
Any further discussion? Senator Higgins, I too am sitting here trying to think of titles and what the legislature has done over the past about different things, and I just, you know, there seems to be once in a while, and this probably isn't a fair comparison, but if somebody gets in an unfortunate situation and some heinous type crime, we will call it so-and-so bill or
right.
Things like that. So I don't think it's the first time. I mean, Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage, I mean, that's named after the folks that worked so much on that particular issue.
It's named a commission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, we name lots of stuff. I just don't like naming
them. Yeah, okay.
And I don't think we should name them.
Okay. Mr. Chair, just a technical thing I want to point out to people, that this will only show up in the law. It's not a codified section of statute, so it shows up in the law enacting this provision, but it would not show up in the statute at all. It's just in the law itself.
Okay, any further discussion to Senator Higgins's oral amendment?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just
good luck.
Ask a really quick follow-up. So what you're saying is in the statute books next year when they're published, you won't write it up and it will not say
that's right.
So then there really is no reason to have
it. Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, the reason is if you look up when it was enacted, if you're looking up the law that provided the statutory change, it would be there, but there only. It's uncodified.
Okay. Any further discussion with regards to, I believe the amendment is to delete line 7, 1.7 and 1.8.
Mr. Chair, I think we'll do the title too along with that as part of the amendment.
Okay. Does everybody understand the amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment does not pass. Any further discussion on Senate file 1911? Senator Dietzick.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka. Okay, so how does you, and Mr. Chair brought this up, so how do they handle law enforcement? I mean, are we paying for the enforcement of this? So people can get their hunting and fishing license in the summer, mostly I think it's fishing licenses, and then did we have DNR agents out there enforcing last year, or what
yeah.
happened?
Thank you for that question. I think we have somebody from a representative from the DNR that can answer some of the questions that the committee members might have. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Don Carlos. I work for the DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife. Pertaining to the question regarding do we need enforcement during this period of time, unfortunately, I was prepared to talk about the revenues coming in during this time and FTEs to guarantee that those revenues would come in. And I'm sorry, I can't speak to the enforcement aspect.
I think Mr. Knopf can probably answer that, but I think the conservation officers were still performing their functions during the shutdown, if that answers your question, Senator Dietzick.
I have a follow-up question.
Certainly. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, since you are prepared to answer and all the others have told us revenues in and expenses out, if you could just, since you're prepared, to answer that.
Ms. Don Carlos.
Chairman, Senator, estimated angling and hunting license revenue for the month of July is around $4.3 million. For the month of July, it's about $4.1 million. That breaks down proportionally different. In July, there's an awful lot of angling licenses being sold from people coming in to the state, non-residents as well as residents. So about 85% of the transactions have to do with angling licenses in July. In August, we start seeing a bump up in hunters starting to buy their hunting licenses. So about 56% of the transactions in August have to do with fishing and 34% have to do with hunting. But it's upwards of $4 million in each of those months.
Okay. Question I would have, and maybe take us through the mechanics of how resorts, somebody comes to the resort and how they get a license obtained. I understand it's done online, and is it contracted out by the state of Minnesota so there's not a DNR official sitting on the other end, so to speak?
Chairman and committee, the agents that are selling licenses collect those fees, and they go into a dedicated bank account. And then those bank accounts are swept on a regular basis to pull those revenues into the state. We would need, though, to keep the system operating, three positions, three FTEs during that period of time, and that would be for working with the contractor for the ELS system and also working with agents. And then the third function would be sweeping the funding. So it's not a system that can operate on its own without problems. But in our fiscal note, we'll be identifying those three FTEs as what would be required.
Okay, thank you for that. So that's an interesting term there, a sweeping revenues into the system. I think that's probably the first time I've heard that. So any questions, members, about the process?
You don't sell insurance, do you?
Any further questions? Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, if I can just refer to a Star Tribune article, July 27th. There they said figures from the DNR indicate that more than 20,000 non-resident licenses that would have been sold during the shutdown went unsold. And then they go on to say it was estimated 1 to 3 million of lost revenues. So that was July 27, 2011, Dennis Anderson.
Folks, we talked about an ugly time in our era here. That's for sure in our watch. And again, it's just nothing that we want to happen again. But if it does happen, why, we're at least addressing those issues today with a couple of bills. So, any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Gazelka, Senator Gazelka.
Well, I renew my motion. File. Can you tell me what the Senate file number was?
1911
be re-referred to Finance Committee and laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
That would be as amended?
As amended.
Members, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Members, there's nothing else before the committee. The committee stands adjourned.